Hello and welcome to the Back to Movement podcast. I'm your host, Bernadette, and today I am so excited to introduce our guest, Amanda, a mom of five who has navigated life's challenges with courage and determination. Amanda's story is nothing short of inspiring. She's not just raising five children, but her youngest has a disability, which brings its own unique challenges. Despite everything on her plate, Amanda has found the strength to prioritize her health and well-being using movement and exercise to transform her life. So in this episode, we'll dive into how Amanda started her fitness journey, how she balances the demands of motherhood, and the powerful lessons she learned along the way. Amanda's story is proof that even in the most overwhelming situations, it's possible to find strength, resilience, and joy. So please help me welcome Amanda to the Back to Movement podcast. Welcome,
Hi.
Amanda.
Hi,
Thank
Bernadette.
You so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
And so tell us, what inspired you to start a fitness journey with Pilates, and especially while you're navigating such a challenging situation with your son's diagnosis?
Well, so first, just to kind of explain, my son had a brain injury at birth, and so he has cerebral palsy. He's six now, but he doesn't walk. He can crawl, so he is mobile in some ways, but for the most part, he's pretty dependent on us for pretty much everything. So it's actually his care and looking forward at his future that inspired me to take better care of myself, because I knew in order to be able to take care of him, I have to take care of me. So he's 40 pounds now at 6 years old, but he's only going to get bigger and he's only going to get heavier. And you know, he's not cognitively affected. So he wants to do all the same things that a six-year-old does. You know, he wants to go down the slide and he wants to swing on the swings and he wants to run around, you know, and, we have really purposed from early on that we will be his hands and feet, right? And so we want him to experience life to the fullness. And in order for him to do that, we have to be able to facilitate that. And so I knew I needed to change some things in my life to be able to do that for him.
Mm-hmm. I see. And how did you initially balance the demands of motherhood, particularly with your son's needs? How did you find time for yourself?
Well, so we homeschool. So our schedule is pretty flexible. But that also means we don't have to be up super early. And we're not really morning people. So when I started your program and we started pretty early, I was like, oh man. Okay. I can do this.
And you did it.
But that's, the timing worked really well for that. So to be able to, I just had to motivate myself to get up a little earlier, and it's not really taking away from my responsibilities with my kids and just kind of our normal daily flow. So
you woke up earlier than your kids. Your kids were still asleep?
For the most part. Now, mornings when Jesse would get up earlier than normal, that made it difficult. But I mean, it still does sometimes. But, I mean, you know, sometimes he's just crawling up to the camera while I'm doing Pilates with you. So you just, you know, you make it work.
Yeah. So you made it work. So yeah. You did find time for yourself eventually,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you knew something has to change.
Yeah.
And you decided that You're going to get up a little bit earlier.
Yes.
And take care of you.
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever feel guilty about it, that, you know, you take that time for yourself? Do you feel guilt?
No, but I feel like maybe my reasons for doing it are a little different. And so I can see where, for some moms that could be a problem, but I think because I'm motivated, not necessarily for myself, which I know I should be motivated for myself and to want to do better for me, but like, because I'm doing it for my kids, I don't really feel and the timing is also helpful in not feeling that guilt. Like if I were to have to take the time in the middle of the day, or if I had to go to the gym, I've got that drive time. You've got to wait for people to finish on the equipment or whatever. Your program being virtual really helps.
So you find it easier to work at home, obviously, because Jesse can't be by himself at home. So doing it at home makes it easier for you. You don't have to drive anywhere. You save time, right? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's
nice.
Exactly. Good. So what were some of the biggest physical or mental challenges you faced when you started exercising, or did you have any?
I definitely did. So shortly before I found your program, I had injured my knee just squatting down in the kitchen. Like I squatted down to get a casserole dish and I injured my, like, how, right? And so I asked my son's physical therapist about it because it kept happening. Like once it happened, that whole joint just felt unstable. And she asked if I was hypermobile. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't think so. But that obviously was a catalyst for me to look into it because I thought I'm super tight all the time. I can't be hypermobile, right? Well, surprise, surprise. Actually, I am really hypermobile. And so I had a ton of tightness in my large muscles because they're compensating for really lax stabilizer muscles. So that, I think, was a really big, like that tightness in the beginning was really hard because I can't do a lot of the things that, you know, a standard Pilates program would probably have you doing. And so that's one thing I appreciate about your approach is you do what you can do, right? And the clinical Pilates is maybe not as much of a stickler for like getting it exactly right. And so feeling like I couldn't do it right was a bit of a mental, you know, challenge, but your approach and just you as a person really kind of wipes that away anyway, just because of how you approach it and, you know, the acceptance that you have of whatever your body is doing, that's what your body needs to do, and that's okay. So the tightness and the pain, obviously, initially, and then just that feeling like I'm not doing it right were probably my biggest challenges, if you want to say.
But you overcome that. And you've never mentioned these things, actually. So thank you for mentioning this now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I never really thought. But I have told you that I really appreciate your approach and just you as a person and how you approach life in general, but especially when it comes to your program of it doesn't have to look right. It doesn't have to be right. Acceptance of where you are in the moment. And that doesn't mean that's where you'll be in a month or 2 months or a year, but it's where you are right now. And that's okay. Absolutely. And we work with it. We move through it, right? So.
But I have to be honest with you, I've been teaching Pilates for almost 15 years, and I only changed this approach since I finished my diploma, since I actually started this back pain program, because I was always taught that exercises has to be done and performed in a certain way. But then I learned it when I finished my education with Breathe Education in Melbourne, Australia, that you meet people where they are because everyone is unique and different.
And
that is so true.
And it's, I mean, I've seen the change in me just in the little over a year we've been doing this, and the other women that have kind of stuck with you, you know, so the proof is in the pudding, so they say, you know.
Yes. And I promise I didn't pay Amanda to talk about these things.
No, not at all.
Okay, so how has movement and exercise impacted your ability to take care of your son and manage your own back pain, you know?
Yeah, so I think your program specifically has given me the tools I need to move throughout the day. Like, first, like on the note of the hypermobility, I can absolutely tell a difference just in how stable my spine specifically is now, and how much that's made a difference in my large muscles, especially in my shoulders. Because, I mean, I used to be so tight there all the time. And that would affect how I was able to care for him throughout the day. But it would also affect, like my husband had to give me massages multiple times a week just to keep me functional, you know? So, now I'm able to move throughout the week. And if I do start feeling tight or feeling achy in some areas, I just take 5 minutes and move through some of our, you know, like our warm-up stretches and stuff. And that usually helps where I'm able to get back to whatever I was doing.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful to hear that.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you feel better and it is kind of like easier to take care of Jesse these days, right? Because you feel better in your own body, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. And what would you say to moms who feel like they simply don't have time to exercise or to take care of themselves?
So,
especially with a kid with disability, you know?
Yeah.
Or any mom.
I'll be honest, when I was looking at starting your program, I was like, oh man, how am I going to do this? Because I was, you know, I was really sleep deprived in the beginning too. He wasn't sleeping well. And so.
But you showed up.
I did. and so, you know what? Sometimes it's true. You don't have time, you know, but you have 5 minutes. Or you have 10 minutes, or you have 15 minutes, whatever you can find. As you say, any movement is better than no movement, right? So it doesn't matter if you can't do an hour-long exercise. Most of us can't, especially when you've got a lot on your plate. But most people can find 10 minutes or 15, you know, or your class is 30, you know, and some mornings I'm like, man, there's so much else I could be doing, but I know I need to go, I know I need to do class, you know, and, you know, you just have to commit to it and find your time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's a good advice. So everyone has 5 or 10 minutes, right?
Yes.
On tough days when you don't feel like showing up, what keeps you motivated or what kept you motivated?
So I am the type of person that, like I said, I think a bit earlier, like I'm better motivated for other people than I am for myself. So to be honest, the thing that kept me motivated in the beginning was the commitment I made to you. And so on days when I really didn't feel like getting up out of bed, I knew I had a commitment to you that I was going to show up. I was going to, at least, especially in that like first 6 weeks when it's like, oh man, I just want to sleep. But I had a commitment. And so for me, that was what kept me motivated. Now, everybody has to find their thing, right? And maybe it's not that for somebody, but everybody has that thing, right? So you just got to kind of find what is your motivating factor and keep that kind of at the forefront, because there will be days when you don't want to do it. And there will be times when you don't want, or man, it hurts, you know, or is this even helping, you know? Because I was about 4 weeks in and I was like, man, this isn't even working. But I kept going because I had that commitment to you. And I'm so thankful that I did, because that was like right, that was like the hump, right? That four week mark was like, I don't know that this is going to be it for me, right? But I kept going and I'm so glad I did, because it definitely made a difference. So.
Yes, I do believe that consistency and time. So if you start anything, you know, exercise, or even when you are, my son is a third grader, so you're practicing multiplication, you know, multiplication facts. You need to practice to get better. So on the first day, you probably won't know all the answers, right? Mm-hmm. You have to go and keep practice. Yeah. And consistency is the key. Same with if you have back pain, and especially if you've been having back pain for years, it's not going to resolve within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It takes time
and
energy and effort. And that's why if someone signs up, they have to sign up for at least 6 weeks, because that's how they will actually know, this is working for me, I got better, or no, this is, I need to find something else because this isn't working for me. Yeah. But you need to show up for a certain amount of time, right? To feel, or you don't feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really important when you are dealing with any sort of pain. You start something, stick to it for a while. And then you will know. But after the first session, don't tell me, oh, Pilates isn't working, because after the first session, you're not totally pain-free.
Yeah.
Well, we can't do magic. You know, nobody can.
Yeah.
Even a surgeon. It takes time. You have a surgery, there is recovery time.
Yeah.
And you have to go to physical therapy anyway.
Yeah.
So I think time and consistency and showing up every day, even if you don't want to, right?
Yes.
Kick your own butt.
Yes.
Some days we have to do that. Okay, so how has your perspective on self-care evolved since you joined the program?
So becoming the demands of being a mother of five, number one, but especially the mother of a child with a disability is really high. So within the disability parent world, right, for us, a lot of times the traditional self-care things that you're told can sting a bit, because we don't have time for that. You know, like getting your nails done or sitting quietly with your cup of coffee while, you know, like, listen, when you have five kids, what is quiet? I don't know what that is anymore. But doing something that, even though my motivation necessarily isn't for me, it's still taking care of me, and realizing that in order to take care of others, so if you're a mom, even if you don't have a child with any different needs, you still need to be able to take care of them, right? And that cheesy adage of you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
True.
You have to take care of yourself to be able to take care of others. And so your kids deserve you at your best, you know, like, so I guess for me, it's just, it's not about like the frou-frou self-care. I wouldn't necessarily say that my view on self-care changed per se, but your program just kind of more reinforced that importance of taking care of yourself and how important it is to take care of your body, not just for you, but for others. So,
yeah, that's so true. Yeah. And every kid deserves a mom who can actually take care of them, right? Because if you're not good, you cannot. I know it's such a cliche.
Yeah.
You know, you hear this so often, you know, but it is actually true.
It really is. Yeah.
Because the reason I started actually this back pain program and to learn about back pain is because I seen my own mother. She couldn't get out of bed. She showed up on my graduation with a high chair, with a wheelchair, sorry. And it was tough to see her like that. And I wasn't able to help her, you know, at that time. And it's tough on kids.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not good, you know, it they remember that.
Yeah.
That, oh, mommy wasn't good and, you know, wasn't there for me when I needed her.
Well, and, you know, just being in pain is kind of miserable, you know? And so that kind of overflows into everything. If you're in pain, it's difficult to enjoy life and it's difficult to enjoy your time with your kids. And they feel that, you know, and kids won't always necessarily understand that it's not them. You know, and so I think it's kind of complex. There's a lot to it, but really taking care of yourself can also take care of them, not just meeting their physical needs, but also meeting their mental and emotional needs.
Absolutely, because if you're good, then you are more patient. Yeah. I don't know about you, but but when I'm in pain, I feel aggravated, edgy. I just want to lay down. I don't want to listen to them. And I have a 9-year-old now and he wants to talk about everything and anything. Luckily, I don't have back pain anymore. But I remember when he was smaller, you know, like a toddler, I wasn't able to pick him up because my back was hurting and he didn't understand why.
Yeah.
You know, and he was just crying. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, mommy can't pick you up now because my back was hurting. And you kind of like, you feel like you're, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm a bad mom because I wasn't able to do that for him.
Yes, mom guilt.
And sometimes even tell him that we have these conversations before we go to bed. And so many times I tell him, I wish I could turn time back and now I know what to do, you know, but I wish if I could turn time back and be there for him.
Yeah.
Of course, we can't do that anymore. No. And that's okay. I have to let it go. And we are looking forward.
Yeah.
What I can do now.
Yes.
So I get it.
Yeah.
So can you share a specific moment when you realized the progress you were making, whether it was feeling stronger, having more energy, or being able to take care of your son better?
So I know exactly the moment that it really kind of struck me, this is making a difference, because like I said, I kind of hit that 4-week mark and I was like, man, I do not feel better. So I started with you last October. And just to kind of give a little bit of a backstory, I have 2 kids with a lot of food allergies, you know this, but for them. I have 2 kids with a lot of food allergies. Between the 2 of them, we've got over 20 food allergies in the house. So I make pretty much everything from scratch. So Thanksgiving was coming up, and when I make Thanksgiving with everything from scratch, that's a lot of work, right? So I start on Tuesday. Now, historically, I cook all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, and all day Thursday. And by the end of our meal on Thursday, I hit that couch in so much pain. Like, I am able to just push through and get it done because I want it for my kids, mm-hmm. right? And I want them to have those memories. But, oh, man, I was in so much pain. And I would just hit that couch, and I was out, and I was miserable. But last year, I started with you in October, and I started cooking come Thanksgiving in November, you know, late November. I started cooking on Tuesday, and I cooked all day Tuesday, and I was not in pain. And then I cooked all day Wednesday, and I was not in pain.
And we had a class on Wednesday.
Yeah. And I cooked all day Thursday. And that was the first time in a, like, as long as I can remember that I was able to just enjoy Thanksgiving dinner and not just be like holding out until I can hit that couch because I was miserable, right? And that was like, I'm not in pain. What? Like, it was my aha moment of this is actually working. Yeah. So
good.
Thank you.
I remember that. Yes. No, thank you. How has improving your strength and managing your back pain changed your daily life and ability to enjoy motherhood?
Well, like I said, like when you're in pain, you're just miserable, right? Like you just, your senses are on high alert kind of at all times, mm-hmm. right? So when your kids are loud and noisy, you don't have the patience for mm-hmm. it. If they ask you a million questions, you don't have patience for it.
Yes.
You know, and it's just, or they want to play something and you just don't have it in you. So in terms of motherhood, in general, that's probably the biggest difference that I see is I have a lot more patience. Mm-hmm. And I'm just able to engage a whole lot more. In terms of daily life, I think probably the biggest change is that my husband doesn't have to give me those massages like 3 times a week just to keep me functional, you know? Now that's not to say I don't like the massages, but like,
yes.
You know, everybody likes a good back massage, right? But it wasn't even about just enjoying a massage. Mm-hmm. It was, if he didn't do it, I was in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I also deal with an autoimmune disorder. And so while the autoimmune disorder that I have mostly affects my skin, when it flares, I still get that, what I call the autoimmune ick. Like you just feel, ugh, mm-hmm. inside. And I'm able to move through that a lot easier because I know any movement is better than no movement. And so it doesn't hit me as hard because I can find 5 minutes, you know, even if it's not doing like a full routine, but I can just move through the stretches or move through things that the movements that I know are going to help the certain areas that are flared. So I would say those are probably the biggest ways that daily life has changed.
Sounds good. Now, you mentioned that Jesse grew.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And how's that affecting you lifting him?
So I don't know if you remember, you probably do, like a few months ago, I squatted down to get him up off the floor and something in my hip was like, nope.
Screaming.
Don't like that, right? So, and historically I would have, and it's not to say I didn't baby it, but historically I would have babied it quite a bit more than I did this time. So I just didn't stop moving. I was easier on it than normal, you know, but that was also kind of a catalyst for me of knowing, okay, he's hitting 40 pounds. I need to up what I'm doing with Bernadette. And so, you know, I reached out to you and we talked about it. Yeah. And so I definitely am feeling the difference in lifting him, even though the weight I'm working with you is only half of his weight. And so I've got room to go.
Yes.
But I can already tell the difference just in how it feels lifting him.
Okay. And it's very interesting you said that you think in order to get stronger, we need to lift heavier, right?
Oh,
yeah. No, I'm just confirming, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what happened is that Amanda gave me a call a couple of weeks ago or months ago.
Yeah.
And she mentioned that we are actually using kettlebells in our sessions now because now she's pain-free and we can, you know, add weights. And she mentioned that, hey, Bernadette, I think I'm ready to lift a little bit heavier because Jesse is getting heavier too. So since then, we added heavier kettlebells, heavier weights, and that's what we are gradually working on, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds amazing. So what advice would you give to moms who are afraid to take the first step toward getting stronger or managing their pain?
So just do it. You know, like, we can make all the excuses in the world, and I've made a bajillion of them, you know, like, and sometimes when you're in that space of being in pain, it can feel defeating, you know, and so just do something. And again, I know this is going to be the third time I've said it. Any movement is better than no movement. Also, sleep.
Good point.
So, you know, any movement is better than no movement. And prioritize your sleep. You know, those are the two things that I can always tell the difference. And the two big takeaways. But I mean, everybody knows sleep is important, but, you know, we had some life changes recently in the last 6 months, and that affected my sleep. And, oh, man, the difference I could tell, like, right away. And I remember reaching out to you, and I'm like, man, I knew sleep was important, but, oh, my body is like, screaming at me because I'm not getting enough sleep.
Yeah.
So, do something and sleep.
What did you feel when you didn't sleep enough? You know, how did it affect you? What did you feel?
Well, my pain level was just, it just shot right up. But also it just, I felt tight again. I just felt achy and really just like my body was like, I don't even know what word that is, but like just ugh. But the pain level was the biggest difference because it was within a week of that change, and it was like a stark difference.
Yeah. So I feel the same way. If I don't sleep enough, I have to sleep at least 7 hours. That's the minimum, but more like 8. And if I don't sleep enough for a couple of days, I actually do feel my back a little bit, even though I'm a back pain coach.
Yeah.
I feel my back too every once in a while too. And I have a lack of energy.
Yeah.
And that makes me angry at myself. You know, that, oh, I should be able to do this, but I can't because, oh, you know, I lack of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me angry.
Yeah.
You know, that I can't do something that I would love to do.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that with us. And why do you believe it's so important for moms to prioritize their own health, even in the face of challenges like yours?
I mean, again, it goes back to that. You have to take care of yourself to take care of others. You're not really any good to anybody if you're falling apart. Right. And sometimes we have to fall apart. Life happens. Right. So I'm a big advocate for if you need to fall apart, but you can't stay there. Right. Like, you have to be able to pull yourself back together to be able to keep moving and to be able to take care of those who need you. So,
yeah, that's so true. And what would you tell someone who feels like they've tried everything and, you know, nothing worked for them yet.
Just keep trying. You know, like I tried a lot of things.
What did you try before?
I tried like video, like little at-home programs. Like you buy the videos, so there's not really like the interaction mm-hmm. like we get with your program, and not really the. You don't have anybody to troubleshoot with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. just you pop in a video and mm-hmm. you do it. But also like massage, chiropractic. I'd go to the chiropractor and by the end of the day, I'd feel great leaving the chiropractor. But by the end of the day, my bones had gone right back to where they were. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, kind of whatever pain meds you can, like just over the counter stuff, anti-inflammatories, all of that. So, but my thing is like, it can feel really defeating, feeling like you've tried everything. You've tried so many things and nothing is working, right? And so, but you have to kind of get to a point where you're not willing to give up. You know, you're worth not giving up on. So you have to find that resilience within yourself to just kind of try one more thing, because it could be the next thing that works, you know, and or at least gives you some improvement, you know, and puts you one step closer to finding the right thing for you.
So, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And what's the biggest lesson you learned about resilience? Because you just said the word resilience. Both as a mom and as someone managing back pain.
You know, life is always going to have its challenges. Always. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's a huge scale of what the challenges could be, but there's always going to be some sort of challenges. And we have to be able to move through those challenges. You can't just stop living. You've got to live your life, right? And so you have to find it within you to just keep going. And sometimes that's just doing the very next thing. We've been through a lot of trials in our life. And when the stuff hits the proverbial fan, right? I get into a mode of, I just need to focus on the next thing. What is the next thing I need to do to get through? And sometimes that's just how life is, you know? And so if you just do the next thing, and then from that thing, you just do the next thing, eventually you're going to make it through and you're going to come out and you're going to realize, I just walked through that and I'm okay. But we can't let life also, what lessons are there to be learned in whatever your challenges are? Like, I know there's this big push of like, and some people don't like the everything happens for a reason saying, but I actually am a huge believer in that because I've lived it. You know, there are so many things that happen in life that happen to change you and to grow you, and everything has a lesson. Even if it's something that doesn't, like you had no control over, there was no way. Okay, for example, we had a fire in our townhome years ago. There was no way we could have controlled it. It started in the unit next to ours. There was nothing we could have done, right? But there's tons of things like that happen in life that we have no control over, but they happen for our growth and to allow change in our lives. And so every time I'm looking at a challenge, what can I learn? how can I grow through this? And the same can happen for, I mean, I know it may sound cheesy again, but like the pain you're dealing with, there's a reason, you know, and the reason might not be great. The source of, you know, the reason for the source might not be great, but what can you do? How can you use it to better yourself? So there's the other adage of, it can make you bitter or it can make you better. And I don't want to be bitter.
Exactly.
So every challenge I face, I just, how can this make me better? And that's just kind of how we live our life.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you, Amanda, for sharing that. Is there one thing you'd like listeners to take away from your journey? What would it be?
If I can do it, you can do it.
Love that.
Okay. That's the, really, I mean, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah. And that was really interesting. You mentioned just always look at the next step. So it's kind of like you have a long staircase, right? Mm-hmm. Don't look at the...
Yes.
Always just look at the next step.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't look at your Pilates class schedule for the whole year. Just look at this week.
What do you need to do this week?
What do I have to do this week?
And that's how it was. Like, and I mentioned the fire because that was the challenge in my life that really highlighted that concept for me of the next thing. Just focus on the next thing, because when you lose 75% of your stuff and you have nowhere to live and you've got 3 kids, like, it's really overwhelming. And if I looked at all the things I needed to do, I would just crumble, you know? And so I had to get in this mindset of just, what do I need to do next? Even if it's just in the next 5 to 10 minutes, what do I need to do? Some days I couldn't even look at the whole day. Yeah. I literally, the next thing I need to do and the next thing I need to do. And I got through that day. And then as things started to fall together, you know, I was able to look at the bigger picture a little bit more when it wasn't as overwhelming. So that was my aha moment from that, so, from that challenge. For sure.
So let's just always look at the next step.
Yeah.
Because actually, sometimes if you look at the big picture, it can be scary what you need to do in order to be pain-free, for example.
Yeah.
You know, you need to do maybe a couple of months of exercise program or anything. If you look at maybe the 2 to 4 months can be scary, you know, but then just don't look at the 2 to 4 months, just look at the next step and you get better. Yeah. With consistency and with time.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Amanda. I truly appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Back to Movement podcast. And I think Amanda's story is a beautiful reminder that even in the busiest, most challenging seasons of life, there is always space to prioritize yourself, your health, and your well-being. So to all the moms out there listening, remember that taking care of yourself isn't selfish, right? It's the foundation for showing up as the best version of you and for your family. So if you liked our conversation, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others. And connect with us on social media to keep the conversation going. Until next time, keep moving, keep growing, and take care of you, because you got this and you deserve this. Again, thanks for listening to the Back to Movement podcast. See you next time.